Hey everyone, this is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wake and Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wake and Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wake and Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it. Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast or on the iHeartRadio app.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show before I ride off into the sunset. Actually, that's not true. I'm just taking a quick vacation for Christmas, and then I'll be back. But anyway, it's the final hour. Chris, we just agreed that we didn't like that song. We just were talking about that. And it's not comically bad. It's just bad. No one else got the joke, Chris. This is one of these things. It's your generation that does this. My kids do this same thing too. They'll tell an unfunny inside joke that no one gets, and they'll laugh, and then they'll just keep repeating the same stupid joke, and I have to tell them it's not funny. Okay, it's not funny. You want it to be. We have 3 hours. I only have an hour left. I have 8 trillion emails I need to get to. So let us begin. Jesse, what are your thoughts on group gifts? My family constantly asks for money year-round to go in on group gifts for birthdays and stuff. This is the gift-giving season, so I've been asked to pay for Christmas gifts as a group with my siblings, and it feels very impersonal way, like a very impersonal way of giving, and I selfishly don't get credit for it. Okay, am I a... this past week, anyway, she goes on, she said no. Am I a butthole for saying no? I think I know Chris's answer. What about you? Don't say my name. My siblings will probably know who wrote this if they listen to you. Okay. Listen. When it comes to group gifts, I generally try to piggyback off my sister because she's a thoughtful person. I am not a thoughtful person. So whenever it's your mom's birthday or anniversary or something like that, my first call or text is to her. I'll say, hey, what are you doing? What are you going to get them? And then whatever she says, it doesn't matter. Although she's caught on to this by now, I say, I'll go in on that with you. And so I don't, yeah, that's the problem. See, Chris is right. I'm a bad gift giver. I understand that I'm a bad gift giver. And it's not that I want to be. I give gifts that are practical and logical. And therefore, there's no feeling behind them whatsoever. I've told you the story about the lotion warmer, right? In case you're new to the show, my wife is cold all the time, like all women are. But when she gets out of the shower, you know women, they sit there and they slather all this various creams and things like that on themselves. And she's cold when she gets out of the shower. So I, thinking I can solve that problem, I got her a thing where she could put her lotion bottle in and it would warm it up before she puts it on. And she opened up that gift. It was Christmas. I think this was a Christmas gift. Don't quote me on that. It might have been birthday, but I think it was Christmas. And she burst out laughing right when she opened it up and never even opened it. And we ended up selling it at a garage sale. That's a great gift. But that's how I give gifts. I give gifts that I think people need, logical gifts, and so they're not personal at all. This is why I leave virtually all the gift giving up to my wife in our house. Almost all of it. Unless it's her gift, she has bought the gift, she's picked it out. And now what I really love to do is whenever she's bought, you know, my mom something or my dad something like that for Christmas or whatever it is, my folks will send a group text out to the whole family and they'll say, "Wow, thank you so much for the hot sauces or whatever it is." And I'll always jump on the phone first and text back before she gets a chance, "You're welcome. It was our pleasure." And then the wife gets mad and whatnot. But look, remember this, kids. Remember, there's no limit to what you can accomplish if you're willing to take credit for someone else's work. Always remember that. Jesse, we in the U.S. have about 600,000 abortions a year and 50,000 gunshot fatalities per year, half of which are suicides. Seems to me we have that as a society, we have our priorities in the wrong place. We do. No question. Let's talk about the gun thing really quickly for a moment. You know my thoughts on abortion. Let's talk about the gun thing real quickly. Did you know that if you took out the cities, the blue cities, America's gun deaths are fourth lowest on the planet? Did you know that? Let me tell you a little something. I was interviewing someone on my TV show. Remember, I have a TV show on the First TV, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tucker Carlson's on there tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern. On my TV show, I was interviewing Mark Morano. Mark Morano, he was over there in Dubai for that climate summit they were just having. It didn't matter. Anyway, he was in Dubai. And I asked him, if you watch this show, you remember, I asked him on the air, I said, "Mark, how is Dubai?" Because I'm not some world traveler. I don't know. I'm from Ohio. I don't know. I've never been. And all I see is the same stuff you see about Dubai. It looks really fancy and tall buildings. How is this place? And I asked him how it was. And he went on to describe how incredibly immaculate and shiny it is. Everything is new. There's no homeless people on the sidewalk. There's not rampant violent crime. And I want you to understand something. We don't think about this. We don't talk about it a lot. It has become baked in the cake for you and me that cities are dirty. I don't dislike cities. You know how much I love New York and places like that. But that cities are dirty and they're crime-ridden and there are homeless people everywhere. That has become baked in our cake. That there are shootings all the time. That's baked in my mind, in your mind. You know that it doesn't have to be like that, right? It's only because of Democrat rule, communist rule. That's the only reason the violence and vile crap that goes on in the cities is allowed to go on. If you were to take away Democrat rule, which obviously is not going to happen, but if you were to take that away, our cities would shine too. But we elect these communists into office and they just pillage their cities. And the same idiot loser voters go out and vote for them in time and time again. I saw, it was just recently we were talking about Manhattan Bridge getting shut down in New York City. That should happen once. And then once all those protesters go to Rikers Island for a couple years and you have to avoid getting shivved in the shower, you never do that again. They just did the same thing in LA. That should happen once. But instead, that's where these people focus. Remember the St. George Floyd protests. St. George Floyd dies of a fentanyl overdose. The country decides it's going to do some big white guilt trip, and all these vandalizations and burning down are happening. Let me ask you, are you in a red area? Did it happen to you? Didn't happen in my neighborhood. Oh, don't get me wrong. There were protests in Texas, places like Houston and otherwise. In my neighborhood, they decided they were going to skip over that area. No vandalizing. No none of that stuff. Why? Because you get shot pulling that crap in my neighborhood. You come try to burn down someone's house in my neighborhood, you're not leaving alive. I promise you're not. That's the way it works. But because of, remember we've talked about it before, about how you're sandwiched and I'm sandwiched because we're in the middle. The cities are the most extreme example of that. These Democrats, the communists on top, the ones who run the cities, the city councils, the judges, the everything else, they spend all their time running protection for the vile street communist scum on the bottom. And the people in the middle, crushed. Crushed. Sandwiched between them. You have the evil ones on top, the evil ones on the bottom, and there we are in the middle. Our cities should shine. Did you know that? Instead, the fact that they're dirty and crime-ridden, we just kind of shrug our shoulders and accept that that's the way it is. It's only that way because Democrats run all of them. Hey, Jesse, I've been listening this week, hoping to hear your thoughts on the DeSantis-Newsom debate, but I haven't heard you comment on it yet. What'd you think? Oh, DeSantis killed him. DeSantis is a great debater. I thought he would be potentially in trouble because Newsom is a pretty slick operator, pretty smooth operator most of the time. Man, he sucked. He absolutely sucked it up big time. Hey, Jesse, why is it that the U.S. military officer selection is mostly elitist? We get officers from an academy or 90-day wonders versus making everyone start at private. College teaches paperwork, not military skills. Look, you can argue how to structure a military, the officer versus enlisted corps. That's a worthwhile argument to have. And as much as I dislike officers, I do dislike them a great deal. Officer, no, I wasn't an officer, Chris. I was a non-commissioned officer. I was enlisted. Anyway, they still are necessary. And a good one, if maybe you were listening right now, a good one who cares for his men is like gold. I didn't have many good ones, but I had a couple. And to this day, if they called me and told me to go lay down in traffic for them, I would. And they'd be right there beside me doing it. You do need an officer corps to control the men, not just to lead the men, to keep them under control. I'll explain what I mean in just a moment. And believe me, it's going to hurt me to compliment officers too, but I'm going to do it. Before I do that, let's do this. Let's talk about a servo. You see, here in America, our children are being trafficked right underneath our noses. This is not just a problem. It's growing. Because of the social media age, that's where these monsters recruit the kids, blackmail the kids. It's happening everywhere now. It might be happening to your child. It might be happening to you if you are a child listening. If you are, or if you just want to help a servo project stop these predators and save these kids, go to theasservoproject.org. A-S-S-E-R-V-O. Theasservoproject.org. There are resources there for you. There's a tip line if you're being trafficked. That's also where you need to give if you can. $14 a month is what they ask for to fund this organization so they can keep saving kids and busting scumbags. Theasservoproject.org, $14 a month. We'll talk about officers and controlling the men next.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Don't forget, you can email us, Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Right, we just had a question about officers in the military and stuff like that. Officers are necessary. Leadership is necessary. And leadership, not just in battle, but controlling the men. The men, military men, can get out of control. Once you're grouped with other men, then you have guns and power. There needs to be a force there that will guide and control it. You want to know a great example, actually? A bad example, I should say? Hamas. That Hamas attack. People were talking. Now, listen to me. Listen. People were talking about what Israel's doing now, and of course everyone's mad because Israel's bombing the crap out of Gaza and taking a bunch of prisoners and stuff like that and whatnot. You know I haven't done a bunch of talk, but just stay with me here. and they're planting Israeli flags. They're flooding tunnels. They are going all in. They're eradicating Hamas. Okay? People are mad. And I don't really care about that part of it, that people are mad, but people should understand this. How you conduct yourself in combat does matter, and it will absolutely, without question, it will go a ways to determining how you will be treated by the enemy when he comes back at you. Look, Hamas, I know this sounds crazy, but it's true. If Hamas had launched that raid on October 7th and did all the same stuff, paragliding, everything else, and had just killed a bunch of people, or even just killed and kidnapped people, they wouldn't have as vicious a response as they do now, because you were baking babies in the oven and raping women. When you start conducting yourself like an animal like that, then you will be treated like an animal. And I know it's a terrorist organization, but in the Marines, I'll tell you, in Iraq, if we started getting out of line, officer steps up, no, stop. You have to stop. You can't do that. There should have been a Hamas lieutenant saying, nope, you're not going to kill the baby. Leave the baby alone. We will, no. And I'm not even saying it'll make Hamas nice, but you're going to get a response because of how you did a thing. You wanted to act like an animal. Now you're going to be treated like one. Look at Japan in World War II. It's still to this day a debate topic people will bring up. Should we have leveled all those cities? Should we have dropped the bombs and things like that? And what people miss is because I'm a Japan fan, Japanese people in the country, but the way they conducted themselves before and during that war was barbaric. It was Assyrian in nature. The amount of rape and torture and it's just a way they did business. It was how they did business. And not only that, they would torture you and then leave a sign on you after they tortured you to death, telling the troops that are your friends that they just tortured you to death. And the things they did to women. You know how many people? Have you ever read about, there's a great book on this. Let me repeat it about 25 times. Knights of Bushido. The Knights of Bushido. One more time so you don't have to email me and ask. The book is The Knights of Bushido. What is the book? It is a chronicling of the Japanese war crimes during World War II. And the author even says at the beginning, this is a tiny fraction of them. You know how often they burned people to death? They loved doing it. The Japanese loved doing it. I can think of one story. My blood's starting to boil already off the bat. A bunch of prisoners, they threw them in a bunker, American prisoners, started pouring gasoline in there and lit it on fire. So the guys made a break for it. One of them, they caught him on the beach, and instead of just shooting him, they poured gasoline on his feet and kept lighting his feet on fire, so much so that he was begging them to kill him. And eventually they, of course, did. Okay, well, you want to conduct yourself in that way, then people are going to remember that. How you do a thing matters. There's not going to be a ton of sympathy when we reduce Tokyo to an ashtray. And look, that was before Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Most people don't even know about that. We just flat out dropped what basically amounted to napalm on Tokyo and created a firestorm and burned 100,000 people to death. Is that wonderful? No, that's friggin' horrible. 100,000 dead people, that's awful. But how you do a thing matters. And back to officers. That's why you need good ones. That's part of why they're necessary. But look, how you do a thing matters. Dear Jesse, I'm 16 years old. I listen to your show every day. How old do you think you have to be to know when you know that the person you are with is the one you want to marry? Also, how did you and your wife meet and fall in love? I am with an amazing guy right now. We've been together for almost a year. He's a Christian Republican, and we plan to get married and have kids. Thanks for your show. Says I can say her name. Her name is Ava. That's a beautiful name. And that's friggin' wonderful, Ava, that you have somebody. How you know? Well, you know when you know, right? And people will say, well, you're only 16. You're only 16. I don't say that. That was a very normal age for people to start at least thinking about marriage for most of human history. I'm not telling you to get married. Please, I'm not telling you to run away and elope at 16. I'm not. But that's not crazy at all. And if you're with the guy and he sure sounds nice, then you know, right? This is something to think about, something to pray about. Then when you know, you know. Let's hope it all works out for you. As far as how the wife and I met, I actually haven't told that story in a while. I think I will tell that story. Before I get to that, I want to do this. I want to talk to you about something critically important. Your testosterone levels. America's testosterone levels. Don't be dismissive of this. It is, look, guys, are you down a lot? I see the depression numbers. They're bad. They're really, really bad. Are you down a lot? You understand that testosterone, low testosterone, brings down your mood. Have you gotten checked? Remember, you drink estrogen. We shower in it. It's in the waters. It's everywhere. You have got to do something to counter that. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day, and I always will. How I felt over the past couple years since I started is palpable. And the stories you email me about what it's done for you, they make me feel outstanding, and Chalk loves it too. This is a wonderful company of anti-communists, natural herbal supplements, not more big pharma crap flowing through your veins. Natural stuff. And it's Christmas sale time. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
Hi, everyone. It's me, Katie Couric. If you follow me on social media, you know I love to cook, or at least try, especially alongside some of my favorite chefs and foodies like Benny Blanco, Jake Cohen, Lydie Hoyt, Allison Roman, and of course, Ina Garten and Martha Stewart. So I started a free newsletter called Good Taste that comes out every Thursday, and it's serving up recipes that will make your mouth water. Think a candied bacon Bloody Mary, tacos with cabbage slaw, curry cauliflower with almonds and mint, and cherry slab pie with vanilla ice cream to top it all off. I mean, yum, I'm getting hungry. But if you're not sold yet, we also have kitchen tips like a foolproof way to grill the perfect burger and must-have products like the best cast iron skillet to feel like a chef in your own kitchen. All you need to do is sign up at katiecouric.com/goodtaste. That's KATIECOURIC.com/goodtaste. I promise your taste buds will be happy you did.
I'm Dr. Laurie Santos, host of the Happiness Lab podcast. As the U.S. elections approach, it can feel like we're angrier and more divided than ever.
Please stick to policy, don't get personal.
But in a new, hopeful season of my podcast, I'll share what the science really shows, that we're surprisingly more united than most people think.
We all know something is wrong in our culture, in our politics, and that we need to do better and that we can do better.
With the help of Stanford psychologist Jamil Zaki.
It's really tragic. If cynicism were a pill, it'd be a poison.
We'll see that our fellow humans, even those we disagree with, are more generous than we assume.
My assumption, my feeling, my hunch is that a lot of us are actually looking for a way to disagree and still be in relationships with each other.
All that on the Happiness Lab. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain, but those experiments are the most important scientific discoveries of the time.
I'm Evan Ratliff. Last season, we tackled the ingenuity of Elon Musk with biographer Walter Isaacson. This time, we're diving into the story of Benjamin Franklin, another genius who's desperate to be dusted off from history.
His media empire makes him the most successful self-made business person in America. I mean, he was never early to bed and early to rise type person. He's enormously famous. Women start wearing their hair in what was called the coiffure a la Franklin.
And who's more relevant now than ever.
the only other person who could have possibly been the first president would have been Benjamin Franklin. But he's too old and wants Washington to do it.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for about 30 minutes, I dive into three topics in Major League Baseball that I am interested in. Breaking stories, trends, stats, weird stuff. Sometimes I make up my own stats. Sometimes I do a lot of research, and it ends up I was wrong the whole time. So that's something you can get in on. Use Jimmy's Three Things podcast to stay up to date on Major League Baseball and to make you just a smidge smarter than your friend who's a baseball fan. You listen to me and then you go tell him, hey, I know this and you don't. So I make you smarter than your friends. That's what Jimmy's Three Things is all about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. You could also find it on the Talkin' Baseball YouTube channel, and new episodes drop every Tuesday.
Is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, you have a very, very, very Merry Christmas. So, First Lady, I'll get back to the questions, and I'll answer the question about how I met my wife in a second. I will. I just wanted to talk about this for a second. Jill Biden, the real president, Jill, she put out a video online, and it's a tap dance group doing some weird interpretive dance thing in the White House. It was supposed to be some Christmas video. It's really not a big deal. It's just some idiot commie tap dance group, whatever. And it's really cringeworthy. It's tough to watch. And people are dumping on it. I just wanted to remind everybody, remind you, remind myself, the reason everything these people do is so cringeworthy and disdainful to you, it's because they're not speaking to you. They're not even attempting to speak to you. Remember, the mentally ill liberal white woman on anti-anxiety medication, she is the beating heart of the Democrat Party. It is the entire power base of the Democrat Party. Without the liberal white woman who's a nut job, always single, the single liberal white woman on anti-anxiety meds, without her, the Democrats couldn't win an election in California. She is everything to them. So everything they do, all the messaging, the stupid videos, the talking points, everything they do is aimed at her. They need to create more of her, and they need to placate her. They understand who butters their bread. That's why they do what they do. That's why you look at the White House video and you say to yourself, what is this crap? What about just Christmas carols or something? You, normal person with good values, you want Christmas carols. They're not worried about you. They're not talking to you. They're talking to liberal white women. Okay, so as far as how I met the wife, when I got out of the Marines, I'll make this fast because I want to get to as many questions as I can. When I got out of the Marines, I was doing pretty poorly. I was fresh back from Iraq. I wasn't in a great place mentally, to put it mildly. When I wasn't at work or at my community college, not to brag, I would sit in my apartment totally blacked out, shades closed, lights off. I'd sit there by myself in the dark and drink beer. That's not a good place to be. I was in a really bad place. A very angry, very violent person. I would think about hurting people all the time. It was a really, really bad place, all right? So that's where I was frame of mind-wise. And even at community college. Remember, I'm going to an Arizona community college. Beautiful women fall from the trees in places like Arizona. I didn't even really want to talk to girls. I didn't even really want to talk
Why
to girls.
Why are you gay?
Stop. Anyway, quit. I just wanted to be left alone. So I would sit in the back. I wore a ball cap, and I'd pull it way down low over my eyes, and I'd just sit there. Just leave me alone. And this girl sat in front of me in class, and she was always talking to me, real nice, being very nice. This is not somebody I would be attracted to in any way. I'm being as nice as I can possibly be, but this is not someone I'd be attracted to. And one day she turned and said to me, are you dating anybody? And I thought she was asking me out. So I almost lied. I almost said, oh yeah, absolutely. But instead, in a moment of honesty, I said, no, I'm not.
And she said, well, you'd be perfect for my roommate. I said, okay, who's your roommate? She said, she's on the University of Arizona gymnastics team. Well, I may be having some PTSD problems, but I was not gay and am not. So I said, yes, I would like to meet your roommate very, very much. And from there, I'll have you know, took her out to a pretty nice evening shooting pool and drinking pitchers of beer. And went over well. And after that, decided I was going to knock her socks off because that was a blind date. So on our first one after that, I took her to Claim Jumpers. Have you ever seen the size of the chicken fried steak at Claim Jumpers? Let's just say she was impressed. What, Chris? You never heard of Claim Jumpers? How do I describe it? Claim Jumpers is the portions are absurd. That's the best way I can describe it. Yes, yeah, it's similar to a local diner around here of some kind, but yes, very, very similar. Same type of thing. You go sit down, at least at the time. I'm sure all the prices have tripled by now. I mean, they might be out of business, but at the time, you could go in and for $10, $11, you could get a chicken fried steak that it'd be three meals for you. It's absurd how over the top the meal size was. Anyway, did that with her and took her out to some putt-putt golf that night. Like, I didn't have any money, okay? What do you want me to do? Dear Oracle, you mentioned watching a movie with subtitles, and I need you to settle a debate my wife and I are having. I contend if a movie's all subtitles, then that should count as reading the book the movie was based on. My wife disagrees. What's your vote? Oh, that's absolutely... That counts. No question about it, that counts. Dear KSO Kelly, what do you think about the recent polls that not only have Trump winning, but winning big, like 10 points in Michigan? Are these false like all the other polls in the past, or do they have some merit? Okay. Look, I've given you my thoughts on polls and polling and things like that earlier, so I'm not going to go into that now. But I will say this. Remember, we focus on things that don't matter as much, and they focus on the things that do matter. And this is what I mean. We love television ads. We love polls on the right. Look at this poll. Look at this poll. Oh, wow. Look at these great TV ads. That's a great TV ad. That's sure to be very, very persuasive. You know what Democrats focus on? Chasing down ballots. That's what they focus on. I am not trying to be Debbie Downer. I'm really, really, really not. I hope to God 24 is an amazing year. No matter what, I hope it's an incredible year for us. I hope we win the presidency. I hope, all these things. I have not seen so far a GOP that is focused on blocking and tackling. Getting out the vote, chasing down ballots. It's not sexy. You don't share it with your friends. Oh my gosh, look at their ballot chasing operation. But it's the stuff that wins elections. Remember, John Fetterman, Senator Cucumber, he got elected in Pennsylvania. Now, granted, we ran that loser Oz against him. That was wonderful. But anyway, he got elected in Pennsylvania. But on election day, by the time election day came around, half of the votes John Fetterman got in the end had already been banked by election day. That is a voting machine. That is an absolute army. What are we doing for that? What are we doing for that? Are we funding that? How's our ballot harvesting operation go? Are we even going to have the money for a ballot harvesting operation? Remember, Trump's using PAC money. If Trump's the nominee, he's got to use the PAC money for his legal defense because he's got legal bills like you can't imagine. So... I'm going to move on. It's a Thursday. I don't want to bring everybody down. I'm very nervous. The GOP is once again focusing on the fluff while the communists are focusing on blocking and tackling. It's the football team. That's what it is. There's always that football team out there. You know what they get every year? A fast wide receiver. Oh my gosh, look how fast he is. Whoa, he can jump out of the building. But the teams that win the Super Bowl, they have big, fat offensive linemen that can bench press skyscrapers. They block. They tackle. That's how they win. Jesse, among all the commie trash, I have a dilemma. Years after I got out of the greatest military branch in the world, he said, Army Combat Engineer, I got saved. I have three family members coming to a family Christmas get-together that are gay. One is a San Francisco-type gay that's very political. I have kids who are too young to learn of this lifestyle. I wouldn't care to go by myself, except everyone expects me to bring the kids. Should I go? I know if something political or pro-gay is said, I will say something and ruin the Christmas get-together. Thank you, Mr. Radio Man. Okay. Let's talk about that next.
Why are you gay?
Before we talk about that, let's save a baby. It is Christmas season, and it is time to save a life. It's heartbreaking to think about, but during Christmas, women will have abortions. Preborn is going to try to stop it. Preborn is not going to yell and scream at anybody. They have set up pro-life centers in the highest abortion areas of the country. And they're finding these women and they're letting them know, hey, how about just a free ultrasound? That's it. And it's from God. When a woman hears the heartbeat, the baby ceases being the clump of cells she's told it is. All of a sudden, she's a mom. Overwhelmingly, you get them in for an ultrasound, they choose life. That's where your $28 goes. Save a life tonight. Preborn.com/Jesse. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. I will get to as many emails as I possibly can, and then I'm leaving you. Taking off for Christmas. All right? I will miss you too. I will be back. We will have fun next year. No matter what happens, we're going to find a way to get through it together, you and me. All right? All right, let's do this one again in case you're just now joining us. Jesse, I have a dilemma. I got saved. I have three family members coming to a family Christmas get-together that are gay. One is a San Francisco-type gay that's very political. I have kids who are too young to learn of this lifestyle. I wouldn't care to go by myself, except everyone expects me to bring the kids. Should I go? I know if something political or pro-gay is said, I will say something and ruin the Christmas get-together. Thank you, Mr. Radio Man. Okay. Go and don't bring the kids. Everyone's expecting you to bring the kids, but go. If you don't want them around that, then don't bring them around that, and don't bring them. And remember this, and it doesn't sound like it's going to be a problem for someone like you, but remember this. I don't care what persuasion of commie somebody is, whether they're doing the climate change thing or abortion or everyone should be a tranny. I don't care what it is. They've been way too bold for way too long, and the good people have been way too silent and compliant for way too long. You don't get to walk into my Christmas party and start spreading your commie filth around, or we're going to have some words in there. Good people have been quiet for too long, and that's the reason our social shame system is completely upside down in this country. Leave the kids at home. Go to your Christmas party. Make up some excuse if you feel like it. Kids are the best because they give you the ultimate excuse. Oh, man, I'd love to come to your get-together, but, man, the kid got sick. Dang, couldn't make it. Jesse, what are your thoughts on Downton Abbey? I don't have thoughts because I'm not a woman. Jesse, looking for any advice on survival food for my wife. I'd like to get her 34 months of supplies for Christmas. Well, you know what I would get? I'd get her a meat box from Good Ranchers. That's what I'd get. You understand that Good Ranchers, get this. You understand that Good Ranchers delivers the best meat you've ever had in your life to your front door? You also get that your grocery store is owned by some gigantic commie corporation, right? And I realize you still have to go to the grocery store. I still have to go to the grocery store, but I don't have to get my meat there. Good Ranchers has 100% American meat, 100% transparent vaccination policy, and they're giving out free 10-pound Christmas hams during the Christmas season when you subscribe to any one of their boxes. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Jesse. That's the meat your wife needs. GoodRanchers.com, promo code Jesse. Get her a big hunk of meat. Dear the communists, Freddy Krueger, question. Given Trump's personality and governing style, along with serving one term, if Trump wanted you to provide some short list of VP names, who would be at the top of your list? He said someone who could compliment Trump and be a viable presidential candidate to succeed Trump's one term. He said I can give out his name. Okay, so his name is Dusty. Who would I want if I had to give Trump a VP list? I don't know that I have anybody. And this is what I mean. I don't view the country as being savable from D.C. I don't necessarily want to throw good after bad. It's not that president doesn't matter. It is really, really important. It is. But when you ask something like that, like who do you want him to be a VP? You're picking, you know, who's the next young hotshot? Should it be DeSantis or Kim Reynolds, Chip Roy, you know, someone along those lines. Tucker, somebody like that. Well, I would rather someone like Tucker keeps doing what he's doing than go be a vice president in the swamp, which doesn't drain. The swamp got fuller with Trump there. It doesn't drain. I don't believe we can save the country from D.C. I believe we can save it from the outside in, not the inside out. We save it by taking back our local communities. We start winning local and state races, and we slowly spread anti-communism from there. I know that's a lame answer you wanted to name, but I just don't. This is another reason I don't get wrapped up in all the endless, oh my gosh, you gotta vote for him. Oh, DeSantis is the best ever. Oh, Trump's gonna save us all. I think that's ridiculous. I don't think it's possible to save us all from D.C. Is the presidential race important? Of course it is. That's not gonna save the country. It's not. Dear Christmas connoisseur, how do you compare the classic Christmas movies like It's a Wonderful Life or Miracle on 34th Street versus movies we grew up with? Christmas Story, Home Alone, Die Hard. What's your favorite Christmas movie? He said, I'd be honored if El Caldillo would say my name. His name is Eric. What, Chris? Oh, the Home Alone, Christmas Story, Die Hard movies are way better than those old movies. Way better. And I'm not even dogging on the older movies like Miracle on 34th Street and stuff like that. But, well, no, our era of movies was the sweet spot, baby. Oracle. Now that the great underdog candidate Doug Burgum has dropped out and no one knew he was still running, it got me thinking, why would a candidate drop out this close to election day? It's not like he or the others at the bottom are spending money on campaigning. If it were me, I'd never drop out. What say you? It's from Larry. Look, at some point in time, I don't know Doug Burgum. Right? I don't know his home life. Remember this. It's easy to forget. These people are still people. And it's a very good life to run for president. It is. It's a good life. But at some point, you're tired of hotels. You're tired of eating out. And nobody wants to hear this, but it's true. At some point, you're tired of the voters. I'll tell you, by the time I got done running for Congress a second time, losing a second time, I didn't have any animosity towards the voters. But man alive, I was all done having to answer questions. What, Chris? That's not true, Chris. I do not hate people. No. I hate communists. I don't know. That's not true. I don't hate people. No, at some point in time, you get sick of having to answer questions. At some point in time, you get sick of having people scream at you. Have you ever been around a little kid, or maybe you have little kids right now, where they ask you questions all day long? Hey, Dad, how do whales poop? Hey, Dad, can you smell the color green? Hey, Dad. And it's wonderful, right? It's wonderful to have kids, but at some point in time, you are going to go lock yourself in the bathroom and pretend you're on the toilet. And even then, my sons used to come, Dad, are you in there? And they'd be sticking their hands underneath. At some point in time, you need to be left alone. Campaigning, being in office, running for office is exhausting. And if you're somebody like Doug Burgum, where you're not getting any national press out of it, why stay? What are you doing here? All right. Now, this is my final sign-off here before Christmas. Remember, Jesus is the reason for the season. Read a Bible story on Christmas Day. Remember to give. It's not the season of getting. It's the season of giving. Give when you can. care for yourself, your family. Keep your chin up. I promise I'm coming back. All right, I will be back, and we will have fun, and we will have a wonderful 2024 come hell or high water. All right? That's all.
Hey, everyone. This is Jimmy O'Brien from John Boy Media. I want to quickly tell you about my podcast. It's called Jimmy's Three Things. Episodes come out every Tuesday, and for 30 minutes, I dive into three stories in Major League Baseball that I want to talk about, or I do a stat deep dive. Sometimes I create my own stats. It gets weird. It's now your go-to podcast for staying up to date and in the weeds with Major League Baseball. No topic is off limits or too small. Bad umpires, great pitcher-catcher duos, new rules, old rules, three things that I want to talk about. Listen to Jimmy's Three Things on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Joe Gatto.
I'm Steve Byrne.
We are Two Cool Moms.
We certainly are.
And guess where we could find us now?
Oh, I don't know. The iHeart Podcast Network?
That's right. We're an official iHeart podcast, and I'm super excited about it.
I am too. I thought Two Cool Moms was such a fun podcast, but now it's even more funner and cooler and heartier.
That's right. It's more iHeartier.
I knew it. Check your heart rate. We're here at iHeart.
Yeah, you can find us wherever you listen to your podcast or on the iHeart Radio app.
We think of Franklin as the doddering dude flying a kite in the rain.
Benjamin Franklin is our subject for a new season with Walter Isaacson.
He's the most successful self-made business person in America.
A printer, a scientist, founding father, but maybe not the guy we think we know.
Franklin casts his lot on the side of revolution, and it's another thing that splits the family apart.
Listen to On Benjamin Franklin with Walter Isaacson on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, Jake Storielli here from John Boy Media. I want to tell you about my podcast, Wakin' Jake. I've been a sports nut my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than talking about it. If you're a sports fan, Wakin' Jake is the place for you. Covering all the hot topics from the sports world, a lot of baseball, a lot of postseason coverage, mock drafts, awards, guest interviews, all of it. New episodes every Monday and Wednesday. Come watch along on the Wakin' Jake YouTube channel or listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.